Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 564, Forging Bounty, recorded live on December 13th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And this is going to be our last podcast of the year. Last podcast of 2016. 2016 has brought a lot, and I mean a lot, of Halo goodies our way with Halo 5. It has been one heck of a ride for Halo, and this past week has been no exception for the community in all facets, I think, except maybe the lore folks a little bit. They may have gotten left out a little bit, but for everyone else,
I don't know. Smoke and Shadows just came out.
Oh, it did this week? Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah, I'm talking about this past week, but yeah, I mean, well, if you look at the past month, yes, but
so they're not completely left out,
right? They've had something recently, but everyone, I guess, for the past month or so has been made happy in some form or fashion. This past week being Modder's Bounty getting released. And then we also have the fall finals for the North American Pro League that got conducted this past week as well. And I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of the games, GT, but the finals were amazing. It was some awesome Halo to watch, some nail biters too.
Well, that's good to hear. No, I haven't had the opportunity to watch. I had other projects going this week, like trying to get better. As you can probably tell, my voice is better, but it's not back to normal. I still got that raspy baritone going. Before we get too far into the podcast today, I would like to thank three people for gifting Ooh. Their gold packs to me. It was not required, but thank you anyway. Liquid Smoke, One Pod Dust Storm, and Confell 12. I appreciate the gift of the rec packs, and I will give you a special mention in my next rec pack opening video. So thank you very much.
Awesome. That's cool. I also had some rec packs gifted to me as well. I'm trying to open them up on Halo Waypoint right now so I can see who gave them to me. I think it was Metal Massacre may have been the first one. I forget. I'm trying to pull them up here. So I got four packs gifted to me. First one from Major Overkill 9. I got one from Mech Warrior 488. I got one from Spartan TM. And I got one from Ace of Spades card.
Cool.
So thank you guys for shooting those over my way as well. So yes, gifting of rec packs is a thing. Officially a thing.
Yes, it is.
And we might be giving some away. I don't know. Maybe Christmas time?
Maybe.
Maybe. We've got a little Christmas cheer to spread around here. That rhymed. That was a happy accident.
They show up every once in a while.
Right. So we have a lot of cool things with the Modder's Bounty that really had a lot of cool things. And we talked a little bit about it last week because it was the same day that we were recording where they actually made the announcement. But we had a lot more things kind of revealed to us after the recording. So let's kind of dig into some of the new things that we got. And where should we start? Should we start with mini games? Should we start with forge pieces?
Well, let's start with mini games this time.
Okay. So they kind of have extended the scripting elements in Forge to support a lot more mini games. So I forget which content update it was that brought us the ball game type that introduced oddball, a different way to do griff ball, or I guess, it was griff.
Yeah, Griffball came with it.
And a few other different kind of variations off of a ball type. So, but they added some new features in here to essentially build out King of the Hill and Race. which has been something the community has clamored for a very long time. And it looks like there's some other game types that can be built off of this as well, including territories, possibly VIP. And there's a new one that they also have in there, which is Battle Golf.
That actually looks like fun.
I'm assuming it's probably in an Action Sack playlist.
Probably. I haven't jumped into Action Sack, so I'm definitely looking forward to doing some of that this weekend.
Yeah. But lots of really cool things that they've added. And there's even some more scripting stuff. If you guys watched the little Forge video that they showed off, some different volumes that you can do, or I guess like hill volumes, and there's scripting elements tied to hill volumes now. So basically, one of the things that the Forging community has been asking for a while, which is trigger volumes, we essentially have trigger volumes now.
You know, the one thing I noticed, especially with this update, you know, you never really figure how complicated a game is. You know, a game mode like race,
mm-hmm.
until you have to build it yourself. I've been watching build videos for just the race game type, and the videos are anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes long just to teach you how to build the race game type.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, people, you know, there's a lot of people that say, well, they had it before. It's simple. Well, if you go in there and you build it, it's not so simple.
No. And they took time to make it simple for us. It wasn't that simple to begin with.
Yeah, they took time to make it to where we were able to script, you know, a race game type. But, you know, even with the fact of how simple they've made it for us, you kind of appreciate how difficult it is to do some of this stuff and why it's taken so long. You know, now I still say that stuff should have been there to begin with, but
agreed.
But it just kind of gives you an appreciation of how things actually work in, you know, a first person shooter like Halo.
Yeah. And Pins also brings up a good point, which I wanted to bring up when you were done too, which is Halo 5 is also a completely new engine. So they had to redo a lot of the stuff from the way that they integrate Forge pieces, which is why they've been able to add so many different Forge pieces, the way they do game modes. So while in one hand, yeah, it would have been nice to have everything at the beginning of the game, I feel that they've done a lot of legwork to where we're going to have so much stuff ready for Halo 6 that we won't even have to worry about having to request more game modes. Like, there'll probably be an abundance of game modes. And you also have to look at, well, for iterations of Halo, they usually try to add some kind of new game modes. So what are they going to add for Halo 6?
More scripting, so you can build more game modes.
Well, from a Forge perspective, sure, but you're looking at some kind of like match makeable arena game mode. I mean, Halo 5 was Breakout. Halo 4 was Headhunter.
Well, you had Domination.
Oh yeah, that too. But like every game has had a new edition of kind of arena or match makeable game modes that you could use. So I mean, with more games, it's just going to be interesting to see how that complexity builds. But they're laying a lot of groundwork, and the scripting engine in Halo 5 is super powerful, and I don't think there's really any other game like that on a console, let alone PC, without having some kind of like full-blown scripter that you can like really dig into the code, but something that's natively supported in the game.
I tell you what, this is probably the closest Forge there has been to a full-on map editor.
Yeah.
It is probably the closest we're going to be able to get for a while. If I remember right, they've pretty much reached the limit of items that they can put in Forge with the available memory that the Xbox One has. Just to kind of give you an idea of how much they've crammed into Forge, where they're using up the available memory for that stuff, which, you know, granted isn't all the memory in the system, but what is, you know, set aside to run the game, it's full. So it bodes well for Halo 6, as long as they don't design to revamp the system again, which hopefully they don't. Hopefully they'll be able to run with this engine for a while. So, you know, things look good for having all the game modes and Forge and custom, you know, the custom game browser and everything at the launch of Halo 6. So it would have been nice if they were able to get there a little faster. From where Halo 5 started and where it is now, it is a huge jump.
It is.
I am thankful for all the hard work that 343 has done in creating new content for the game, for delivering the content at no charge to anybody, because in the long term, that makes it more fun for everybody because you're able to play all the content. You know, in previous Halo games, you always had that paywall that limited your fun. You know, you could only play with certain people because only certain people had all the DLC. Is it a justification for microtransactions? Probably. The way that it was done, I'm okay with, because it was done in a relatively fair manner when it comes to gameplay. Now there is a slight advantage to spending the money, but it's not something that can't be overcome with just good gameplay.
And there's a lot of things that people are still discussing on how better to do the rec system for next time. So we may see a change in that for Halo 6, but for the most part, I mean, like you said, it's nice having this rec system that kind of helps fund having free content for everyone else so that everyone else is on the same page. And at the same time, we've had a lot of player base stay in Halo 5. I think, I don't know how true the stat is now, but I remember Bravo putting out a tweet a while ago saying that they didn't see consistent numbers of like people staying on and playing on a recurring basis after launch since the days of Halo 3. Now, granted, the Xbox install base was a lot smaller back then. So, I mean, if you look at percentage of population on the Xbox versus playing, it's probably still smaller than Halo 3. But the fact of that, we still have hundreds of thousands of people playing Halo 5 every day.
Well, the way I looked at that is, you know, the amount of people that actually have the game installed. And, you know, we're talking percentages. So it doesn't really matter how many people have it. More people that own the game are continuing to play the game. And when you can do that, especially in today's market, when it comes to video games, that's good. Because with, you know, every year you get 20, 30 games at launch. And it's easy for people to get distracted by new games. You know, because honestly, a lot of the games are looking really good. You know, I've looked at some games and I'm like, that looks like it might be fun to play. But, you know, it's a genre of game that I don't enjoy playing, but it looks really great. It's kind of like the new Final Fantasy game. I don't like that style of game. I don't like fighting games like that, but man, it looks gorgeous.
Well, it's funny for me because I've bought Titanfall 2 and Overwatch, and I haven't played those one bit, but I continue to play Halo, and I plan on playing those at some point, but it just hasn't really had the time.
And I've played, since I bought it, I think I've played it for about an hour. I really haven't made it out of the first area because I keep going back to Halo. The Halo is my go-to, and it always has been. You know, ever since I got hooked on it, it always has been. I don't know how many hours I've logged in playing Halo, whether it be multiplayer or just goofing around in campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I'm on the lookout for a new 360 so I can, you know, still fire up, you know, the original Halo CE, you know, not the anniversary, so I can play, you know, the classic Halo campaign, because it does play different
now.
Well, I'm actually looking for a specific console. I'm looking for a Reach console.
Oh,
I want to add a Reach console or a Halo 4 console to my collection. But I'd like to get one that's sealed, and those are getting hard to find.
Yeah, those are kind of hard to find.
They're still out there. I found a few. They're just people are wanting stupid money for them.
I saw one on Halo Collector a while ago. Someone trying to get to give away theirs. I don't remember if it was sealed or not. I think it was probably unboxed. But
yeah, well, there's part of it is trying to find the right deal, and another part of it is dealing with monetary issues.
Right.
Can't wait for that tax return.
Oh, that's right. Tax season is coming. Oh, dang it.
Yay, taxes.
Yeah, taxes. Anywho.
Yes, Laird, I know.
What are you saying?
Laird was saying, I heard there's a place called Halo Collector that could help you. Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Right now, it's the funding issue more than it is the availability issue. I'm hoping to, after Christmas and New Year's, maybe be able to do that. I'm kind of holding off until my wife is actually back to work. She's still recovering from her surgery. Everything's going fine. It's just the type of surgery she has, it takes a long time to recover from. It was a pretty invasive neck surgery, so it takes some time.
Yeah, and you want to make sure you heal from that, I think.
Well, and her job is a very physical job, so we want to make sure that she's 100% before she goes back to work. You know, we don't want her re-injuring herself after she goes back to work. So,
yeah, that wouldn't be good.
But this latest update, I tell you what, I've been having a blast with it.
I haven't really had a chance to play it yet, to be honest.
Have you played Mythic Firefight yet?
No, I saw it pop up, but I haven't had time to get four or six together to go into it.
Well, I would go try it at least, even if you can't find a team. Just go in and try it.
Those skulls scare me.
It's tough. It is tough. I've played six games and I've won one.
Yikes.
And it always comes down to that last boss.
So is it the same amount of bosses just with the skulls on, or have they kind of mixed it up a bit?
There's more than that. You have legendary enemies plus the skulls, and you get more mythic bosses. Like the last round, one game was five mythic bosses.
Oh my gosh. One of them happened to
be the last one happened to be the new grunt mech.
Oh, jeez.
Which I'm pounding on him from long range in an Oni Wasp, and whatever that gun is he has on his arm just peeled me right out of the air.
Oh,
I could
boy.
Barely see this guy, and he tore me out of the air.
Well, I'll be doing my dailies after the podcast, so for those listening to us on Twitch, if you want to join me, feel free.
But Legendary Firefight's also fun. If you want, you know, just a, you know, not a horrible challenge, but you know, a decent challenge and get some decent payouts for experience and rec points. Legendary works real well. I think Mythic is only here for a limited time, so be sure to take advantage of it while it's here.
I was going to ask if they dished out some extra rec and XP because of the mythicality of it.
Well, one of the other YouTubers I follow, what was his name? Luke the Notable. He does calculations on the best place to earn XP in rec. And right now, if you can win, I think if you can win like 20% of your matches on Mythic, that pays out the best. But you have to win 20% of your matches. So actually, Legendary pays out a little bit better because you have a higher chance of winning the match. You know, and that's basically, you know, XP and rec points per hour. So
still, that's not bad.
No. I mean, you're talking, you know, by his calculations, you're talking like in Legendary, 6,000 to 7,000 rec points per hour. And this is without boosts. So if you're using boosts, you can increase that. In the Mythic, you're looking like 8,000 to 9,000 an hour. You know, that includes taking breaks between matches and things like that. So you could definitely make it more than that if you just sit there and grind it.
That's nuts.
It definitely pays better than Assault. Legendary, Warzone or Legendary Firefight pays out better than Warzone Assault now, where, you know, Warzone Assault was the best place to get rec points and experience. I just have too much fun playing Firefight.
Firefight's the only Warzone that I've played for probably the last 3 months. I haven't done normal Warzone in such a long time, and I don't think I would ever do a normal Warzone unless I was going in with a party. And I mean, I would play it again. I just need a party to go in there and that would be willing to play.
Since Firefight has launched, I have played three regular Warzone matches.
Jeez.
I don't think I've played Warzone Assault since Firefight launched.
And I think for accommodations for a company, we might need to do some normal Warzones to get that up too.
Probably. Kind of hard to get Spartan kills in Warzone Firefight.
I mean, you can get them in Arena, but I think it's a lot quicker and like, depending on the person that you're playing with, a lot more fun. to do it in Warzone.
Yeah, I've thought about going back into Warzone Assault because I can do that and not be totally frustrated. Warzone, actual Warzone, that's gotten really competitive. There's a lot of people in there that, you know, they go in with eight people and they just flat steamroll people that, you know, they steamroll or 12, whatever it is. You know, they go in with a full team and they just roll right through. You know, if you're a random, if you get one of those teams, man, hang on.
Ghost Rush. The Ghost Rush is, I think, the Halo version of the Zerg Rush.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's coined that yet. So with the Warzone firefight, though, it's just one of those things that I don't think that's ever going to change of being the norm now for a firefight. I mean, I do know that the Warzone is competitive, but that also kind of brings me back to having the discussion of Warzone as being a custom, like being able to set up your own Warzone lobby and be able to go in and just do your own thing and kind of define some of the different scenarios that are played in Warzone. Because I feel that if they were to make Warzone like a custom gameable thing, there would probably be some communities that would pop up of like being like doing Warzone tournament type things or doing Warzone contests or stuff like that. Like I could see that being a possibility if that was something that 343 would do.
I don't see it coming with Halo 5, but it seems like with what they've got, they're kind of already limited what they can do with the, you know, the editing, you know, as far as editing the engine or giving us access to edit the engine. I mean, don't get me wrong. It'd be nice. It'd be nice if you could forge your own Warzone maps or, you know, your Warzone firefight maps, or you could forge on the Warzone maps and use them for big team or something like that.
I know a lot of people who have wanted to use Warzone maps for some kind of big team or use them at least for a machinima.
I mean, they're nice set pieces.
They really are.
You know, you've basically, each one of those maps is pretty much a city.
And there's a lot of different sections that you can kind of section off and make it be your central playing field. And it just gives you a whole bunch of variety. It's basically a glorified Forge canvas. It's just got some stuff in there already.
If it stays in there, if Warzone stays in there for Halo 6, we'll just have to gently nudge them, say, hey, we would like to
demand it. We will not accept Halo 6 unless we have customizable Warzone experiences and be able to use them in Forge and Big Team. Wow.
And then we get, okay, Halo 6 is canceled.
At least we hit on a high note with Halo 5.
Yeah.
To me personally, Halo 5 is a high note. I have not had this much fun with Halo since Halo 2.
Yeah. I have definitely enjoyed Halo 5. It's been a great year with it. I look forward to playing it for at least until Halo 6 comes out.
Me too.
I'm looking forward to the Halo Wars 2. We should be getting their next beta next month, if I remember right. That's cool.
The network test.
I haven't had a chance to use a grenade launcher. I actually got some and I didn't pull them out. I should.
I've used them in Super Fiesta, and they're a little different because of the Spartan abilities in Halo 5, so it doesn't quite fit the same way as they did in Reach, just from like being able to accurately get there. And I'm still trying to figure out the launching angles with it and the bounce mechanics of the projectiles, but it functions exactly like the grenade launcher from Reach, which is a plus.
Have you watched iSpiteful's video on the grenade launcher?
I have not.
You need to watch it.
I will watch it after this podcast.
I tell you what, that guy, it never ceases to amaze me how good he is with the weapons. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of editing that he does for his videos, but still, I mean, the kills that he pulls off.
You just watch him during his live streams. He's still insane. I'm surprised he isn't pro, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there is a certain kind of like mentality, and like if he doesn't, he probably doesn't want to spend all that time just practicing and grinding. And plus, it's Warzone versus Arena, but still, he is.
He has got some skill.
Oh, yes. He has some definite skill that can rival some of the pros, I think.
Well, the thing that really showed it off is especially this latest video with the grenade launcher. He uses the grenade launcher and the Spartan abilities, and the way he does it, it just makes it look like they're supposed to. That's the way it's supposed to be. He makes it like a fluid motion.
Magical.
I have to admit, I like the Oni Wasp.
That's good.
It's a lot of fun.
A lot more armor on it?
Not a lot. I mean, it does last a little longer than a standard Wasp, but not by a whole lot.
That stinks. Because those Wasps are not very armored at all. Well, let me ask this. What's the rec level for the Oni Wasp? Is it a 5? 4. Oh, it's a 4. Wow.
4. 4 for the Oni, 5 for the Hannibal. And honestly, the Hannibal, I like the Oni better. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Hannibal definitely does more damage with its main gun, but the Oni Wasp does a more consistent amount of damage.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's one of those vehicles where it's like, because of the low rec, I can see why it gets destroyed so easily, but I personally would have liked to see it be a little bit higher rec and be a little more durable. Something that could more easily combat on the level of the Banshee. Because I feel like if you took a Wasp and a Banshee head to head, the Banshee would totally destroy the Wasp.
Oh, yeah. The one thing the Wasp has, especially like on the Oni Wasp, is the missiles track ground and air targets, which is a nice upgrade. But the Wasp is a lot more maneuverable than a Banshee. So, honestly, if you're going up against a Banshee, stay in close. Don't hang around in front of the Banshee, but, you know, just try to stay in close to the Banshee. Because the Banshee has to attack you at range. Because it can't really pivot as well as the Wasps can. The Hannibal Wasp does maneuver faster than the other two.
Okay.
But you also lose, you know, the long range missile attack. If you do go head to head with a Banshee, you know, use those missiles and get, you know, have cover close by.
Use it.
You know, something you can duck behind or get in close and, you know, try to stay as close as you can to them.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people take those Wasps and just go on terrors with them. I mean, even late game terrors, you know, where everybody's at a, you know, 6, 7, 8 level rec. The Wheelman perk definitely helps them out, makes them a lot more durable.
I'm not saying they're not useful, but it is one of those things that you have to be coordinating with your teammates to help cover you, or you have to be really good at avoiding ground fire or being attacked at all.
I've only used one Oni Wasp so far, and that was in a Mythic firefight game. So I think the AI do more damage than a standard Spartan does in Warzone. Mm-hmm. But I was still able to rack up quite a few kills before I got blown out of the air.
As long as you're going positive, right? And playing the objective. Yeah. Can you believe that I lost a Warzone firefight game in the first round a couple weeks ago?
Oh, I've had that happen multiple times.
Seriously, people need to play objective in firefight. Stop dilly-dallying. Stop trying to get kills and play the objective, please. So we've talked a lot about the wrecks. We've talked a lot about the minigame stuff already. Or at least we've mostly talked about it. But there's a couple other things, too. And I haven't really had a chance to look at the Forge stuff. But we have the two new Forge canvases. The Sanghelios type one. I forget which one's called at the moment. Now, I think the other one may be like Deaths or something, and that's the one that's underwater. So we have underwater.
Yes, we can forge underwater and not have to glitch it.
And the Spartans don't drown either. Yay!
I still like that comment that they made.
What about being allergic to water?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It's like your body is 70% water. How are you allergic to it?
I always thought that was funny. A Spartan can fall from space and live, but they get in 6 inches of water and they die.
Although in Reach, you could get completely underwater, but only by so much. I think it was probably the equivalent of like 6 inches that you could get underwater, and then if you went any further below that, you died.
And then, you know, like in Halo CE, you could drive for miles out in the ocean.
Oh, yeah. Halo 1, the Mark IV armor, perfect. What about Halo 2? Could you drive in water?
I honestly don't remember. The only reason I remember that is somebody was made a point of it in some video that I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, on the, was it the third mission? Anyway, Silent Cartographer, you just drive around the island in the ocean.
Yeah, that's the...
You didn't have to be on land.
That's the fourth mission, the Silent Cartographer. Okay, you've got Pillar of Autumn, Halo, Truth and Reconciliation, Silent Cartographer, Assault on the Control Room, Library?
Assault on the Control Room.
There's five.
No, you've got the one where you encounter the Flood the first time.
Yeah, that's the Library. Oh, no, sorry. You're right. 343 Guilty Spark.
Yeah, Guilty Spark. Then it's the Library.
Yeah, then it's the Library. Then it's the Two Betrayals, and then it's the Maw. I knew it was kind of named contradictory to what I thought, but yeah, 343 Guilty Spark. So yeah.
Anyway.
And there you go. That's all 9. No, it should be 10. Wait a second.
Well, we got an Assault on the Control Room.
Oh, there. Keys. We missed Keys. Betrayals. Keys is number 9.
Keys. Yeah.
Ha, we beat you, Pins. Stream lag's going to say otherwise, but we still beat you before we saw it. But I think they're like for Halo 2 on New Mombasa, you may have been able to drive in water. So,
well, I know you could drive in water. I just didn't know how far out you could go.
And actually, in Halo 3 on 117, you could actually hop into the water too, and you could actually use that as part of a shortcut. So you could actually get in water in Halo 3 as well.
Well, see, that was only 4 inches deep, though.
No, it was still quite a few feet.
I know in the...
And you could get in the water in High Ground. So yeah, Halo 4 and Halo Reach were the only Halos that you couldn't walk underwater.
Rant!
Yep, derailed. Get back on track.
Anyway, we can build maps underwater now.
Yay!
I'd be interested to see if the water affects the physics.
I'm guessing probably not. You could probably implement physics volumes that would make it behave in a similar fashion, but I would assume probably not.
Yeah, maybe I'll just have to fire up the new map and go walk around in it, see what happens.
I don't think, because like if you were to throw a grenade underwater or something, it would maybe go realistically 3 feet in front of you and then slowly start to drift down to the floor. I don't think that's the kind of physics would actually be implemented into the game.
Well, I meant as far as like vehicles, you know, like vehicle speeds, things like that, you know, because, you know, vehicles run underwater.
I don't know if you can alter vehicle speed. I know you can alter player speed by traits, but I don't think you can alter vehicle speed.
No, we can't. But like I said, I'll have to fire the map up and take a look, see what you can actually do.
Right. Nevertheless, we have the new canvases, and that brings our total to 6 canvases now? Is that right?
Sounds right.
So, yay! More stuff! It still would be nice to have some kind of native big team maps that aren't necessarily forged. To mm-hmm. Forge's credit, though, you can forge some awesome maps.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely not unimpressed with the Forge maps.
No, definitely not. And that's not to get us wrong on that, but it's one of those things where it'd be nice if there was a properly built big team map similar to how there is for the smaller arena 4v4 maps. I mean, they've built the Warzone maps, so they can build big maps. It's just they need to build big maps. Anyways, so what else is there? We have Observer Mode, which I haven't tried yet. Have you tried Observer Mode yet? I know it was used a lot during the weekend for HCS, but they've had that before, but I haven't had a chance to really go in and mess around with it.
No, I haven't used it. I think it's only available in customs. You know, you can only access the Observer Mode from the custom games menu.
Yes.
And I haven't had any customs going yet.
Fair enough.
I definitely plan on tuning in to the next round of Griffball to see if they're using it. I think that will be a pretty good test of how functional it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I might get some friends together and just set up a custom match and play with it myself. I don't know. Kind of give everybody a chance to try it out to see what, you know, just to see what the hype's about. But that's something that I'm glad that they implemented.
Me too. I like how they're just continuing to take in what the community wants and is being able to adapt it into the game. It's honestly speaking volumes for 343. And I know a lot of people still give 343 a lot of flack, but at the same time, you look at all the content that they're giving us that the community has asked for. Now, granted, it's certain parts of the community and only certain things can be done in a game that's currently out there. But for the most part, I think they're serving the community to the best of their abilities. And I think they're doing one heck of a job.
I mean, it's like the Observer thing. And that's something people have been crying for ever since like Halo 2, when the competitive scene really started with Halo. You know, they've always wanted, some way to be able to do that. You know, granted, back then the technology just flat didn't exist. But, I know it's something that the Griffballers have been trying to replicate forever. And they've done a really good job with what tools they have had to have, some type of broadcaster mode, where they can move from person to person and, make it more like a sports broadcast.
They've had a lot of different things that they've tried to implement and make sure that they can have things work for tournaments and whenever they're doing their live streams and stuff. And it's finally nice to see that this mode that can be used beyond just the tournament setting for official HCS events is now available for the community. And that makes community tournaments a whole heck of a lot easier to broadcast as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't need a whole bunch of equipment or, a really high speed internet connection to, capture a multi-Twitch image or something like that.
No, you could actually use the Twitch app on the Xbox if you wanted to.
It's really a nice addition. I hope that it is as useful as I think it is for the broadcasters that are, broadcasting tournament style play. I look forward to seeing it get used.
Yeah, and we'll actually use it here pretty soon for something that we'll be involved with. Some of you guys will probably recognize what this is. I don't know if I'm at liberty to say what we're taking part in, but it's coming back around to where I need a team of four again to play some competitive podcast v podcast tournament style thing. So, yeah.
We need some people to play some drunken people.
You could say it that way, sure. But yeah, we'll be looking for people to join up, and I need another set of competitive people to play with. So we'll have tryouts again and have people show up and see if we can get a competitive team pulled together, try to start level setting our skills and trying to form a cohesive team and get everyone kind of used to each other's skills. So
actually get some practice in this time.
Yeah. If people actually show up. Yeah. So we're actually going to be looking for people. So if you're interested, please let me know on Twitter that you're interested in starting to get into some competitive arena stuff. Now, again, I don't think I'm at liberty to say anything yet, but just we need a team of four. Preferably a team of five, just in case we need a backup. But if you're interested, please let me know. So there's that.
Plug. Shameless. Oh.
Yep. But things are in the works, and we will be using that feature pretty soon. So, anywho. What else was there in the update? The Forge objects. So they released a almost 15-minute long video going through all the new Forge stuff that they added. And there are over 650 objects alone in this update. And they said that this actually bested the number of Forge object counts in any other previous Halo title, like alone. So not even Halo 4, not even Halo Reach had 650 forgeable objects that you could put into Forge. And this update includes more than that. That's just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
They have the breakable doors that you have in Campaign and Warzone. They have the Sangheili pieces from the new map that's the Haven remake. I'm forgetting what it is.
Mercy.
Yes, Mercy. They have Forerunner pieces, specific Forerunner pieces. They have foliage. They've added beams. They have some new launch pads. They have a target switch. So instead of a switch, you shoot a target and it activates the script. They have the new script volume thing that you could put on the hill and have certain things get changed. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on.
Landmines are back.
Oh yeah, landmines are back. They have this glowing cube. They have more blocks. They have more standard angled pieces. They have more door frames. They have a street light. I think they have some benches and chairs, and they have a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, the amount of stuff they put in each one of these updates always amazes me, and this one is no different. And you look at the stuff and you're just like, it's useful stuff. It's not just junk. It's useful.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's pieces that people will use, maybe not for their intended purpose, but they'll get used.
There's even the billboard that they added in there.
I'm still waiting to see somebody do like a mini city.
Oh, that would be so cool.
I think it was Halo Reach. There was somebody and they spent, I don't know how many hours or days or weeks or months on this, but they built a scale city, and like the vehicles, they were made out of weapons. They stacked a bunch of stacked like pistols and stuff together to make the vehicles. Like the table legs were made out of sniper rifles for tables. It's just this little bitty city. I haven't seen anybody do that yet. I don't know. Have you seen any spawn point art yet?
Not in Halo 5. I've seen it in other games, but not Halo 5.
Well, I mean, I saw some in Halo 4, a bunch of it in Halo Reach.
I saw a lot in Halo 3.
Yeah, but I haven't seen anything in Halo 5 yet.
I come to think of it, I haven't either. Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. I'm just reading now through the Forge preview. There's actually a lot more in here than I thought. They added 7 new scripting things, which is actually pretty massive. Action targets, which can have actions applied to 64 other objects at once. And you can have 4 actions per condition. And then you scroll down and there's machinima mode in Forge now. There's file recovery. There's an autosave feature when you're forging on PC. When on Xbox One, they had the feature in PC, but now it's on Xbox One. New material overlays, reset map state option, then all the new objects. There's a crab object in there. All the billboards. And yeah, oh my gosh, this update is huge. And I have that forging itch. I am really like, I wish I had the time to forge something because I totally want to try stuff now. Yeah, just mind blown, period. Tom French, if you're listening to this, you have outdone yourself. Seriously, you have totally outdone yourself. And we appreciate it so much.
Very much so.
We are not worthy. We are so not worthy. Oh, geez. I'm debating on whether or not to take my Xbox with me to London. I'm probably leaning on the side of not, because I should enjoy London while I'm there. But I want to play all this stuff. And I leave in a week. Hashtag first world problems.
I would say that if you're going to a new city, that it'd be totally fine to leave your Xbox at home.
Yeah.
Not to mention international travel and Xboxes probably don't get along.
Third, my PC is bigger than my Xbox. Plus, I'd have to carry monitors. That doesn't make any sense. Just call Receptor and borrow his thanks pins. But yeah, basically, Forge, ridiculous.
Maybe they have a Blockbuster over there where you can rent one.
You're funny.
Oh, come on. It was better than that.
It was good. It was good. I remember when my family would rent N64 consoles, and we also rented the PlayStation 2 at one point. But that was the only time we were actually able to have consoles in the house, when it was whenever we were renting it from Blockbuster. I had friends who had consoles, so I would sometimes, whenever I was spending the night at their place, I would play Xbox or Super Nintendo or NES or whatever they had. But other than that, we weren't allowed to have consoles at home. We had handhelds, we had Game Boys, but not consoles.
My house, if you wanted a console, you worked your butt off and you paid for it yourself.
That works too.
Our first console my parents actually purchased us was an Atari 2600. And I think the only reason they bought it is because my dad was having as much fun playing it as we were.
Nice.
I think that was more dad wanted it than the kids wanted it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounded like it's a gift for the kids, but it's really a gift for your dad.
But, I mean, the first console that was actually purchased by one of us was actually by my brother, and he bought a Nintendo.
An NES?
Yeah. And we would play Super Mario Brothers for hours.
Dang.
And, then we both chipped in for games. Like, we'd play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. My brother was really big into Zelda.
Okay.
Let's see. What other game? We had four or five games for it. I mean, we didn't have a whole bunch of games because, we were, for one, we lived out in the country, so it wasn't like we could just go down to the local supermarket and get a job.
Right.
So, working and earning money was quite difficult for us as kids during the school year, and during the summertime a little easier because we would go to work with dad, and, we worked downtown or in town. So, but I spent most of my summers working with my dad, so I never got paid. I got the joy of working with my father. Believe it or not, best job I ever had. It's probably one of the most taxing jobs I've ever had, but to this day, I still miss it. Being able to go to work and know that the guy that runs the business has your back that's an important thing.
Yeah, I would say so.
That's something that I, no matter where I've worked since then, I haven't felt that.
Yeah. Well, in this family, so.
Kind of like my Halo family.
Aww.
I got Halo family.
Yeah, we like our Halo family. Well, there's a lot of other stuff that has happened over the past year for Halo 5. We've had so many different content updates. I think we've had a total of, 8 this year? I know we had one before the new year after Halo 5 was released, but I think we've had a total of 8 different content updates. Someone fact checked me in the Twitch chat, but I think we've had 8 different content updates this year for Halo 5, which is, Halo 5, hands down, has received the most content updates for any Halo title, period. And I don't even want to know how big the install is on my Xbox.
Let's put it this way. I have a 1 terabyte drive, and I have basically 2 games that I have installed that I play regularly. Now, I've got some other stuff, but it may be a quarter of what I've got installed. And I am 50% full as of Monitor's Bounty.
Yeah, I think it's upwards of, my guess would be upwards of 200 gigs for Halo 5.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. It's crazy.
You're going from, a game that fits on a DVD, or better yet, a game that fits on a CD, to going to a game that requires a 500 gigabyte hard drive to install on.
Yep. Yeah, Halo CE fit on a little compact disc.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Let's see here. Halo.
I was looking it up too.
No, I didn't want to start the game.
Ruh-roh. Quick dashboard out. Halo 5 Guardians. Okay. Manage game. Oh, never mind. I am sorely overestimating. It's about 100 gigs. It's 97.1 gigs.
Damn, I may need to clean up my hard drive then.
What else you got on there?
Well, let's see. I got Doritos Crash Course, the Forza 3 demo. I guess I could uninstall that. Forza 6, Galaga. Galaga Legends XD. I got more on here than I thought I did.
I'm kind of surprised that Halo 5 is actually less than 100 gigs.
Let's see. Master Chief Collection, 63 gigs of it.
Wow.
Yeah. 97.2 gigabytes.
Mine says 97.1. That's weird.
Well, that's because I got a couple of rec packs in there that were downloading. Oh, by the way, if you use Bing as your search engine and you're registered for the Rewards Point program, you can buy 805 Guardian rec packs with your points. They're like 2,900 points apiece, and you're limited to 5. I just found that the other thing.
Wait, you can actually buy the rec packs directly?
Yeah, you can buy gold rec packs for 2,900 points if you're registered with the with Bing.
What?
For the rewards program, yeah.
I'm checking out my Bing rewards right now. I didn't know that, because I knew you could get like the $3 gift cards on Bing, but I didn't know you could just directly go to getting the rec cards specifically. I might start doing that.
Let's see, the gold packs are what, $2.99?
Yeah.
So if you bought the $5 gift cards, if you bought three $5 gift cards, you probably would be, yeah, probably about the same.
So I'm not seeing a redemption option for the packs.
Yeah, I had to dig for it a little bit.
And Laird is saying that you can actually get $5 cards for 3,500 points and $10 cards for 75 until January 1st. But I don't see anywhere on here where you can actually redeem them straight for rec packs, though.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at it.
Can you send me a link? Do you have to have it? Maybe you have to have it linked a certain way, but I don't see it. Anywho,
I don't know if that link will work for you.
We'll find out.
I'm actually signed in on my account, so.
Well, it'll just go into my account. Yeah, so that's the same.
But yeah, it's like third row from the bottom, left hand side.
I don't see it, so must not work for me.
Well, I show the bottom two are an Amazon and a Hulu. Then right above it, you got Special Olympics. And then right above Special Olympics, you got the Halo 5 Guardians Rec Pack.
Nope. I've got Xbox Live. So that's interesting.
Well, here, let's do this then. Try that link.
This item is not available.
Huh. Well, that's weird. I guess you're not special enough, Dust.
I guess not.
Well, that's weird. I wonder if that's customized by person.
Per account? Possibly. But yeah, I can't get it.
The account you use is linked to your gamer tag, right?
Yep.
Well, for those of you that can actually get them, good luck with you. For the ones that can't, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to get your hopes up. But you can buy the Xbox Live cards and then buy them that way too. So
that's true. And actually, it's probably more cost effective doing it that way. Because I can get if I can get a $10 card for 7,500 points, and I can get 3 gold packs plus a dollar of change. I can get 2 silvers and 3 golds, but if I do 2 golds with this, then it...
Well, I mean, 2 golds, you know, if you buy the rec pack directly, 2 golds would be...
58.
Would be 58. So you would have, let's see, $3 a piece, so that's $6. So you'd get 3 gold packs with, yeah, the $10 code, you get 3 gold packs, so...
Plus an extra dollar and 3 cents.
So do it that way.
So a little bit of info from the tournament this weekend, the fall finals for the North American Halo Pro, Halo blah, 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 blah. I'm going to make a note and restart that little sentence because that was bad. Anyways, so this past weekend was the Halo Championship Series fall finals for the North American region. And it was Team Envious, Optic Gaming, Team Liquid, and Straight Rippin', who were the top four for the finals. And the top two teams to perform were Team Envious and Optic. And my boys in blue, with Strong Side and Pistola, beat Optic Gaming in a 2 series games of 7. Optic Gaming knocked down Team Envious to the loser's bracket, I believe, in a 4-1 series. So I was a little trepidatious that they weren't going to win, but they came back and won their first set of seven. And then it went to a full seven games for the finals. And it was so much fun to watch. I don't think I've had that much fun watching Halo in a very, very long time. I hope people got to see it because it was amazing.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, it was. And Hook, who was on Team Envious, really just showed up on that last game and really secured the win for Envious. So that was just so much fun. I hope there's a way that we could get them on the podcast at some point after the new year. But they did such an amazing job. I am so happy that they won. But Optic Gaming played a hard-fought game. They had me on the edge of my seat for several of those games. So kudos to them for making a valiant effort. But I'm so happy that Team Envious won.
It's nice to see new teams win.
And they go to Game 7 series. I think it's another thing that has a lot of appeal for the viewing audience. I know there's a lot of people that I saw on Twitter afterwards say that they really got into it because of it going to Game 7. And I think, Haas, if you're still in the stream, correct me if I'm wrong, but we broke 40,000 viewers on Twitch, and maybe between Facebook and Twitch combined, they possibly broke 45,000 viewers for the final.
Wow.
Yeah. Viewership was up.
People.
Viewership was up a lot for this. I don't know what the other games were on Twitch over the weekend for how many were being viewed on other channels or whatnot, but 40,000 for Halo is actually really good given some of the past history with Halo and some of the live streaming events. But this was amazing. And now they also announced the 2017 Halo World Championship, which is going to be taking place in March or April next year. So we even have more stuff to look forward to. And CLG won the World Championship from last year, but we've had lots of roster changes, lots of team dynamics get changed as well. So it's a whole new platform for the World Championship. And I'm hoping to be there and hoping to be on the ground and get some interviews like I did for the one from this year, especially get some of the international teams because we don't get a lot of their spotlight here in the States. So it'd be really cool to see how some of the new teams will get through into the finals, the world finals. That's going to be probably back in, I'd imagine it'd probably be in Hollywood again, and really just get to see what they're capable of, to see what they can bring to the table and see if we can get some competition against the American teams.
That'll be good.
It'll be really good. So that's the next thing up is the 2017 kind of circuit to the World Championship. They have a few LAN events that'll be going on across the world, and we'll finally be able to have another World Championship. So I am very much looking forward to that, and very much looking forward to kind of getting back into the swing of competitive stuff. But that kind of brings me into a segue of, we're still looking for someone to kind of be a resident HCS person that we can bring on the show. So if anyone has any recommendations of maybe someone that we should get on the show, or if anyone wants to help us out with that and possibly volunteer to be on the show, would definitely like your help. You can go over to podtacular.com/apply and let us know that you're interested and how it is that you are, how involved you are with tracking HCS. Because to be honest, I wish I had more time to dedicate towards everything and all things Halo, but I do have a life outside of Halo. So I have to split my time between different interests. And then even within the interest of Halo, I have to split my time between focusing on some things and then focusing on other things. So the competitive scene kind of goes in and out for me. So it'd be nice to have someone that's dedicated specifically to competitive that can help us out here. So if you're interested or know someone who would be interested, please shoot them our way. We would really, really, really appreciate it. Because we kind of miss our resident guy with Haas. He was kind of our resident guy from before. But we need someone else, if anyone else is interested. please let us know. There's not much else to talk about as far as Halo is concerned. We're going to be taking a break for 2 weeks. I'll be in London starting next Tuesday. So this is the final podcast for 2016, unless there's some miracle of sorts that we will have some other podcast in between now and then, which isn't very likely. So we'll see everyone in 2017. We will have a few different podcasts going through some books because I'll get some reading done while I'm over in London. So we'll have a few book podcasts coming into the new year for 2017. We'll hopefully pick some stuff up with HCS and try to get some pro teams on and try to get some casters and try to get some other folks on to go over the new format for the World Championship 2017. We'll have the Halo Wars 2 demo, or not demo, but kind of the new beta slash network test available to us shortly after the new year. So we'll have that as well. So lots of things coming in January for us to really get hyped and excited about. Lots of podcast topics that we can explore, lots of cool things going on. And it's going to be a really cool start, I think, to the new year for Halo.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. So with that said, thank you everyone for tuning into this episode. Please make sure you check us out on our social networks. We're on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, and did I say Facebook and Twitter? I think I kind of mixed up the order, but if we have it, just go to podtacular.com/whatever it is, and you can find us there. I guess I kind of failed to mention Discord every once in a while. So we have Discord. We also have an Xbox Club, and we also have our Spartan Company that you can join as well. The Halo Legendary crate for this month is slowly approaching to the final day that you can order it, which I believe is December 21st. I think that's right. The order date for when you would be able to get it by Christmas has come and gone, so that unfortunately you won't be able to get it by then. Oh, sorry. You have to order by the 15th, December 15th. So in 2 days, we have the conflict theme for this month. So it's the third crate. So if you head on over to podtacular.com/loot crate and then use the code podtacular at checkout, then you'll be able to get $3 off your crate. Loot crate actually has a 25% off code, last geekmas. That's available now. By the time this podcast is published, it will not be out or will not be available anymore. But for those that are in the live stream right now, if you use Last Geekmas for your code instead of Podtacular, you'll get 25% off the crate instead of $3 off, which is pretty nice chunk of change.
Mm-hmm.
We also have excuse me. We also have our podcast network that we are a part of, which includes podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, The Learning Cliff, Podcast 76, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find those over on thepodcast.com, which is spelled with a K, and let them know that we sent you. Especially with the holidays coming up, if you have some downtime, maybe while you're wrapping presents, or maybe while you're driving to your relatives or flying. Whatever you're doing for travel, there would be some good times to help fill your downtime. So download the shows, let them know that we sent you over there, and tell them hi for us. And I just want to give another shout out to all the Halo communities that have made Halo 5 such an enjoyable experience. We've had such a great time being able to interact with so many different people over the past year, whether it's been through conventions or events that we have held in conjunction with other people, whether it's been just kind of reaching out and finding some new faces in the Halo community. It's been really awesome to get to interact with so many people throughout the year, and I am so blessed by everyone that has been a part of the podcast, all the guests that we've had on, all the folks that I've met at conventions, and everything that we've done to just kind of interact with the community and make the Halo community such a wonderful place to be in. It's because of the community that is the reason why I keep on doing what I do, that I keep flying out to events, on my own dime, being able to keep on doing this podcast weekly, getting to interact with everybody. It's just been so wonderful. And 2016 has been such a fantastic year for Halo. And it's going to be hard for 2017 to beat it, I think. But I thank you, everyone who has listened to us over the years, who has participated in joining us on the stream, who have interacted with us. I just thank you all so much for the support that you've given us, and just want so much for the Halo community. And I hope that we continue to grow together, uplift each other, uplift the studio, be critical instead of condescending, and being uplifting wherever possible. So thank you, everybody, for all the work that you do with the community, whether you're a community leader or whether you are a community participant who just enjoys Halo and shares interests with other people. Thank you so much for making the Halo community what it is and making it such a fun and welcoming place for all those who come and join and share in our experiences. And of course, huge thanks to 343 Industries for continuing to make and expand such a wonderful product and foster such an amazing community. I love you guys for it. I love everyone in the studio and just all the open possibilities that has been made available to me for getting to go visit the studio and see all the cool stuff there, getting to see the museum and getting to just be able to talk with all the developers and be able to just interact with some people who I am so privileged to call friends who work at the studio. Thank you, 343 Industries, for continuing the legacy of Halo that Bungie founded, and for continuing to be able to filter through all of the hate in the community, but continuing to strive on and just really knowing that there are many facets of the community, and I would hopefully say the vast majority of the community, that genuinely appreciate the support and the work that you all are putting into the franchise. So keep doing what you're doing. And with that said, we will finish off the year with Keep On Fraggin' Trucks.